Core and Rind, written by Seven Fists and read by Dodie Ficus. This is a Supernatural Firefly crossover and is set in the same verse as Weight and Motion. 1. The dishes were dirty again, piled up in the sink and still crusted with last night's miso sauce. Mel yanked the chore list off the cabinet and scanned down the rows. Sure enough, Dean was on kitchen duty and shirking his duties again. "Dean?" he bellowed. Zoe lifted her head from her coffee mug. "It's too early for that, sir." "Boy can't even wash the goddamn dishes," Mel said. "He's probably still sleeping," Zoe said dryly. "Well, I ain't washing them," Mel said. "Nobody asked you to," Zoe said and sipped her coffee. They were 2 days out from Meadow Green, the hold crammed full of hydroponics equipment, and Mel was getting nervous about River's little detour. She'd sworn to him that it had cut half a day off their trip, but she had a known inclination toward making Mel sweat, and he didn't want any fancy surprises that involved them being late for the drop. He wandered toward the cockpit, intending just to have a little look-see and make sure River wasn't leading them too far astray. The ship was quiet. Most everyone but him and Zoe still sleeping the sleep of the mildly hungover. A sleep that Mel dearly wished he was sleeping too. But Judy called. And he had errant crew members who needed to learn how to wash the Tiansha de dishes. He was halfway into the room before he noticed Dean sitting at the Cortex console. And he let out a loud bark of surprise, his feet drawing him backward a step. "You shriek like a girl," Dean said, not looking up. "Shouldn't go sneaking up on people like that," Mel grumbled. "Why are you in here when my dishes still ain't clean?" "Will you chill out about the freaking dishes?" Dean said. "Jesus Christ, I'll do them in a minute, okay?" "This ship ain't a free ride, boy. We all gotta do our part." "God, shut up," Dean said. "Don't talk smart to me," Mel said. "What are you looking at anyway?" He leaned over Dean's shoulder, peering at the screen. Dean moved to close the window down, but it was too late. Mel had already seen the text on the screen, the "Sam Winchester" and the "No results found" in brightly coloured English and Chinese. "Don't fucking say anything," Dean said, hunching his shoulders. Mel forgot sometimes that Dean had lost things, that he was half a millennium away from home, with no way back that Mel knew of. He tried to think of something comforting to say, offer a bit of sympathy. "Go wash the dishes," he said. "Thanks for the helpful advice, Dr. Phil," Dean said. He touched the screen again and it went dark. "My name ain't Phil," Mel said. "Yeah, you know what?" Dean said. "I'm aware of that." 2. The day after it happened, Mel's skin felt prickly all over, like somebody was doing enthusiastic acupuncture on his whole body. He couldn't stop thinking about Dean coming apart against him, his hands on Dean's hip bones, Dean thrusting raggedly into Mel's mouth. He'd lain with other boys growing up on Shadow, but that was years past, and it surprised him how readily his throat had opened up. Every old skill coming back to him like there hadn't been decades and 1,000 ports of harbour in between. "Wait," Dean had said, and then, yeah, just like that, fuck. It meant nothing, Penquile, just letting off some steam. Dean was too pretty, that red mouth of his, and careless with his body, like he didn't care who looked at it. Mel looked. He couldn't help himself. Somehow he found himself playing cards with Dean and Jane, the three of them hunched over a crate in the cargo bay, and Mel paying far more attention to the way Dean chewed on his lower lip than to the hand he was dealt. "Say, I'm a fat chabyazi," Jane said, smirking at his cards. "No," Dean said. "How fucking dumb do you think I am? What does that mean, that I've got one nut or something?" "It means you're a stinking whore," Jane said. You gonna give me another card or just sit there like a little schoolgirl? Here's your goddamn card, Dean said, throwing it down on the crate. Mel shuffled his cards around in his hand. All right, ladies, I raise you 20, Jane said. Where'd you get that sort of money? Mel said. My doofu, Dean said, and Mel had to hide his grin behind his free hand. Mel, he's calling me a boy whore, Jane whined. You're sure complaining like one, Mel said. Where's the money? Jane tossed down his cards. I don't goram have it, all right? I fold. He's all bark, Dean said to Mel. He ain't ever been real bright, Mel replied. Think his ma dropped him a few too many times as a baby. Don't you talk about my ma, Jane said, scowling. Nobody's talking about your mum, Jane, Dean said. Are you in or out? I'm out, Jane said. He stood up. You girls have fun with your rotten card game. I appreciate the good wishes, Mel said. Jane stomped off, muttering. The man was like a prize stud bull, big, burly, and dumb as a sack of potatoes. It's just you and me, Dean said, and there was something in his eyes that Mel didn't like, a certain glimmer of heat. He looked knowing, was what it was. He looked like he saw something that Mel, despite himself, sorely wanted to learn. I call, Mel said. Dean had three kings, and he grinned wide and white when he fanned them out over the crate's plastic surface. Did you cheat? Mel asked. Nope, Dean said. You just got your ass beat, that's all. Fork it over. Best 2 out of 3, Mel said, and frowned when Dean's mouth twisted. What is it? Nothing, Dean said. Best 2. Mel leaned forward, abandoning his cards. Look, he said. Shipboard foolishness always got complicated. Mel was the captain. He couldn't afford being distracted or letting favoritism weigh in on his decisions. I don't can it, Dean said. Whatever you're going to say, I don't want to hear it. You've got three choices. You can admit defeat, you can shut up and play, or we can go back to my bunk and you can blow me. Number three ain't an option, Mel said. You can't just. Dean rolled his eyes and leaned in, his mouth catching at the corner of Mel's jaw, seemingly random but sending a shiver up Mel's spine nonetheless. Sure, Mel said, turning his head aside. I don't know what the fuck that means, Dean said, biting at Mel's earlobe. It means stop, Mel said. But his hand was cupping Dean's chin, tilting their mouths together, and Mel forgot every goram language he knew after that. 3. His birthday's tomorrow, River said. He'll be 29 years old. I knew that, Mel said. River sighed hugely, like she was some wise old lady and Mel had her at her wits' end. No, you didn't, she said. Don't you get testy with me, little girl, Mel said. She ignored him, busy spinning slow circles in her chair. You should get him a birthday present, she said. I don't know who you're talking about, Mel said. Malcolm Reynolds, you are abominable, River said. You need to respect your Goram elders, Mel said and punched irritably at the nav computer. Kaylee's making him a cake, River said, with icing and candles. No presents, Mel said. We always do cake, River said. For crew. He's crew now. I reckon so, Mel said. He'd had more than enough of this particular conversation. I gotta go check on the cargo. You just keep on steering. Yes, sir, River said, the way she did when she was feeling real smart-alecky. Mel was inclined to blame it on Dean's bad influence. Dean was lying on the floor of the kitchen, playing with Miriam, while Kaylee mixed something in a big bowl. "Here comes the aeroplane," Dean said, and made a buzzing noise. Miriam burbled happily, cradled there against Dean's bent knees. Mel stepped over them both on his way to the freezer. "This is not a Goram nursery school," he said, ignoring the familiar twist in his belly at the sight of Dean loving Kaylee's baby, like he'd given in to belonging on Mel's crew. "Come over here and say that," Dean said. "I'm teaching Miriam how to puke on cue." "You're letting him do this?" Mel asked Kaylee. She giggled. "Long as she don't puke on me, I guess I don't mind much." "Kaylee's making me a cake, with real flour and strawberry frosting," Dean said.
"Is that so?"
Mel said. He pulled open the freezer. "We got any of those fruit things left?"
"Nope,"
Kaylee said. "Zoe ate the last one this morning."
"Booyah, Liam," Mel said. "She's getting demoted."
"All you ever do is bitch," Dean said.
He clambered to his feet, Miriam tucked snugly in the crook of one arm.
"No fightin'," Kaylee said.
She poured the bowl out into a flat pan and shoved it in the oven. "There," she said. "It's got to cook for 10 minutes.
"Can we eat it soon?"
Dean asked.
Kaylee laughed. "Not until dinner."
She lifted Miriam out of Dean's arms and settled the baby in the cloth sling hanging around her neck.
"Don't you touch that oven now."
"Wouldn't dream of it," Mel said. Kaylee wandered off toward the engine room, making cooing noises at the baby. "So," Mel said. He cleared his throat.
Your birthday?"
"Yeah," Dean said.
"That thing that happens once a year?"
"I know what it is," Mel said, scowling. Dean rolled his eyes. "It's just a fucking birthday, Mel. All it means is that I'm a year older. I didn't even want Kaylee to make a cake, but you know how she gets."
"I should have got you something," Mel said.
"Yeah, like what?" Dean said and huffed with laughter. "That's what folks do, ain't it? Give each other nice presents, all wrapped up in fancy paper." Dean leaned back against the counter, his arms crossed. "You know what I did for my birthday last year? I did shots with my brother until we couldn't see straight, and then I fucked the bartender in the back seat of my car." He smirked. "She was fucking hot, too. These little titties."
"That's enough,"
Mel said. He stepped in, grabbing at Dean's hips. "I don't know why you think I'm saying, but I don't want nothing but your Zia Didi," Dean drawled, and started working at Mel's belt. Mel got his hands underneath Dean's shirt and slid them up Dean's back, his calluses dragging against hard muscle.
"I could get you a knife," he said.
"Some hair ribbons?"
"You're a jerk,"
Dean said, and shoved one hand into Mel's trousers.
"Get a room," Jane bellowed, clomping into the kitchen.
"Fuck," Mel said, and Dean started laughing, loud and raucous, his head thrown back. And there were a million things Mel wanted to tell him. But instead, he did up his pants and headed down the corridor toward his bunk. Dean followed. 4. Afterward, Mel couldn't remember why he'd agreed to it. Maybe it was how happy Kaylee looked, or the way she'd fluttered her eyelashes at him. Whatever it was, he told her he would, and Mel did his Goram best not to go back on his word.
"We're watching the baby," he told Dean.
Dean looked back over his shoulder, eyebrows raised.
"What's this we you're talking about?"
"Kaylee wants to go dancing, with Simon."
"Yeah, no kidding," Dean said. "So you volunteered us for babysitting?"
"Something like that," Mel said. "Are those pancakes almost ready?"
"You're lucky if I give you any," Dean said, wielding the spatula.
"You like the baby," Mel pointed out. He tipped his chair back on two legs, his hands braced against the tabletop. They'd picked up some frozen blueberries in Two Rivers, and Mel had been hoping for pancakes all week.
dropping unsubtle hints every time Dean was anywhere near the kitchen.
Fine, so I like the baby, Dean said.
He turned off the burner and came over to the table, a plate balanced on each palm.
When are we supposed to watch her?
Tonight, Mel said. He took his plate from Dean and reached for the butter.
Huh,
Dean said. Simon and Kaylee left that evening in a flurry of fancy clothes and Kaylee's perfume. Simon pink-cheeked and irritable after River insisted upon redoing his tie 3 times.
You look beautiful, Doc,
Dean said, smirking, Miriam held securely in his arms.
Next time, you're going out with her, Simon muttered.
Simon, come on, Kaylee called, already halfway down the lowered ramp. And Simon said, Judy calls, and followed after.
Well, Dean said and bumped Mel with his hip. Guess it's just you and me.
Looks like, Mel said. The ship was quiet. Jane out whoring and Zoe and River already having wandered out of the hold, back to whatever it was they occupied themselves with.
I can't say I've ever done this before.
What, babysit?
Dean grinned. I spent the first 2 years of high school making out with chicks while they were babysitting. We'd wait until the kid fell asleep and then pull out the sofa bed and have at it. God damn, I got my first blowjob from Tiffany Smalls in the Petersons' rec room. I think that was the SNL episode about the killer bats.
You realize I understood about half of that, Mel said.
Yeah, but that's okay, Dean said. You're pretty enough to make up for it.
Dee Dee, Miriam said, patting at Dean's shoulder.
I know, sugar dumpling, Dean said, kissing her face.
You want dinner? Time for bed?
Bye, Miriam said. And Dean obediently lifted her high above his head and made buzzing sounds with his mouth, swooping her around in figure eights.
She'll be spoiled, Mel said.
That's the idea, Dean said. They finished off the leftovers from dinner, standing over the kitchen counter and eating straight out of the containers. Dean fed Miriam bits of squash and carrots. She started fussing after a while, rubbing at her eyes, and Dean went to put her down while Mel ran the dishes through the washer.
You know what time it is now, right?
Mel turned his head. Dean was standing in the doorway, his shirt untucked.
Reckon you ought to remind me, Mel said.
Now's when we watch SNL and make out on the couch, Dean said.
Is the baby asleep? Mel asked.
Christ, yes, she's asleep, Dean said. You're worse than Simon. You love that baby, Mel. Quit trying to act like you don't.
She's okay, Mel said gruffly.
I'm going to stage a fucking baby intervention and make you hold her until you admit to the goddamn love in your heart or whatever, Dean said. Go lie on the couch.
I don't take orders from you, Mel said.
You want me to suck you or not? Go lie on the fucking couch, Dean said, already unfastening his pants. And so Mel went. 5. It's only for a few days, Simon said.
Mel shook his head.
I don't like it.
Yes, you've made that abundantly clear, Simon said. I still think she needs to go.
What? And go talk to some other Gorham psychic? She's liable to come back talking about little green men with 4 heads or something.
This girl was with her at the academy, Simon said. It's important for her to reconnect with someone who shared her experiences.
Chani Zuzong Shiba Dai. Fine, she can go, Mel said, and turned back to the crate he was doing inventory on.
Now quit bothering me about it.
I'd like Dean to go with her, Simon said.
Absolutely not, Mel said. We got a job and I need him for it.
You're delivering fabric, Simon said.
That's my point, Mel said. Need him for the job.
Honestly, Mel,
Just take Jane and Zoe with you. It's not like you'll be doing anything dangerous.
You want someone to go with her so bad, why don't you go?
I have a 10-month-old, Simon said. And aside from that, I thought you wouldn't let me.
I won't, Mel snapped. Need you here for doctoring if anything happens.
So let Dean go with her, Simon said.
The boy was goram persistent, and Mel just knew he wouldn't get any peace until he gave in to Simon's demands.
Fine, Mel said. Fine, she can go, and she can take Dean with her. Now will you please go irritate someone else for a while? I got 15 crates of brocade to go through.
He broke the news to Dean that evening.
Yeah, River already asked me, Dean said. I'll help unload the cargo first and then we'll take off.
Mel frowned. My own crew running around behind my back.
Dude, you lost control of this ship a long time ago. You need to accept it and move on, Dean said, and shoveled some more rice into his mouth.
Peace you, Mel said.
We got any more of those pickles?
It was cold on Bailey, winter just setting in. Mel got up before sunrise and called Megan to have her send out the transport. He woke Dean and Jane and they unloaded the crates as the sun rose, their breath forming heavy clouds in the air.
Rotten cold here, Jane grumbled.
It builds character, you pussy, Dean said.
Reckon Jane's got too much character already, Mel said, and heaved the last of the crates onto the transport.
Zoe was up by then, sitting on a crate at the cargo bay and sipping her coffee.
We ready to go, sir? She called.
Looks like, Mel answered.
Dean, you watch out for River. Don't let her get up to any trouble.
I won't, Dean said.
Mel thought about kissing him. But then Zoe came down the ramp and joined Jane on the transport. And then Jane was saying, let's get moving. And Mel was climbing into the transport and they were trundling away. And then it was too late. It was the longest 3 days of Mel's life. The job went off fine. Megan was pleased with the fabric and handed over their take, no trouble. Mel knew there was a reason he liked the woman. So they had money then, and a week to spend in a town that wasn't up to core standards, but wasn't a one-horse outpost either. Everyone was happy. Jane with his horse, Kaylee with time to fix her engine, Zoe going all domestic and cooking things with spices and fresh vegetables. And Mel figured he ought to be happy too. But his crew was short, and he felt it like a gut wound.
What day are they coming back? He asked Simon.
Tomorrow, Simon said, dandling the baby.
It's going to be fine, Mel. It's a very safe planet, and...
Who said I was worried? Mel said. Just want to head on to the next job.
Of course, Simon said.
Miriam grabbed at his hair and he winced and tickled the bottoms of her little feet. The third day, Mel invented tasks that would keep him in the cargo bay. Zoe eventually took pity on him and had him clean all her guns. He was in the middle of doing that when he heard voices and stood up to see River and Dean approaching the ship. River ran up the ramp, her hair streaming out behind her.
Captain, we're back, she called.
I can see that, Mel said.
How was the...
I have a new dress, River said, and a toy for the baby. Mel's mouth twitched. He hadn't seen River so excited in quite some time.
I take it things went well.
Lucy and I went shopping every day, River said. She turned in a circle and her skirt flared out. Where's Simon? I want to show him my things.
Med bay, I reckon, Mel said, and watched bemused as River skipped out of the hold.
The way she acted most of the time, it was easy to forget that she was still a child. It made Mel glad to see her doing girlish things.
She's been like that the whole time, Dean said, and Mel turned to watch him mounting the ramp. That girl's a handful.
He grinned, unbuttoned his coat.
It's good you went with her, Mel said.
Ran me fucking ragged, Dean said. Permission to come aboard, sir? Mal raised his eyebrows. Never mind, Dean said, rolling his eyes. He dropped his coat on one of the crates and stepped forward, leaning in to kiss Mal. You glad I'm back? Reckon I might be, Mal said. What a warm welcome this is, Dean said. You think Zoe will make me some lunch if I ask nice? She might, Mal said. He scratched his chin. Dean, look, I know I ain't always good at talking about things, but I want you to know that you... Hey, Dean said, and he was smiling. I know. The end.